now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation, and I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody feeling out there? Yeah, man. Me personally, I'm excited because I'm enjoying all this playoff basketball. I hope you're enjoying the playoff basketball like I'm enjoying playoff basketball. And if you're not, how can you not be entertained? Are you not entertained? How can you not be? We got so many performances that's going up, going crazy. We'll talk about Steph Curry. We'll talk about Jimmy Butler. We'll talk about Devin Booker. We'll talk about the Joker. We'll talk about all of these guys who are giving us these wonderful displays of basketball. And if you're not enjoying this year's playoff basketball, then you're not a basketball guy. You know what I'm saying? Wait, you know, football will roll around in a minute. You know, baseball is here. Maybe baseball is your thing. Check out the Braves. You know what I'm saying? But basketball is here, and tis the season, man. Like, it's fully stocked with all that you want. You got theatrics. You got drama. You got some blowouts. You know, you got some disappointments, some letdowns. You have everything that you need. But in this NBA playoffs, if you're not enjoying it, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't know. Welcome back, James Harden. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't get it. It's all over. It's basketball to be had out here. And, you know, without anything else, man, let's jump right into it.
Commissioner Gordon.
In the East, I know I mentioned welcome back James Harden. James Harden has hit us with some of them Roy Jones games. Y'all must have forgot. You know, James could be get back to old James and do James things. And a lot of y'all had written James Harden off. Let's be honest. A lot of y'all had convinced yourselves that James Harden could no longer do it. That somehow, some way, he lost his touch. He lost the step back shot. He lost the shakes. He lost all the stuff that he's had in his arsenal and that he's shown us up until these past couple seasons that he just forgot how to play basketball. And then Embiid goes down. Embiid gets hurt. They come out here and James had to dust off the beard and show y'all what time it is in these streets. And then everybody's looking surprised that Boston is having a hard time with the 76ers. Boston is having an awful hard time with the 76ers, partly because of old school James. And then everybody just wrote Philly off when Embiid got hurt. When Embiid got hurt and was going to miss game one, everybody pretty much said, oh, this is over. This is a wrap. And Boston has their share of issues as well. Like, it's gonna be interesting to see what's happening at the end of this season because I don't know. Win or lose, you have a decision to make. One, you have a decision to make about a coach. Is Mazzola the guy? I don't know. I know Ime Udoka got these same cast of characters to the NBA Finals. And if you're looking at me like, oh, that's not fair, why not? Same group of guys that before Ime Udoka, they were saying you got to bust up the team and get rid of Jaylen Brown or you got to build around Jason Tatum and you got to do all these things. And then after Ime Udoka, everybody's talking how wishy-washy it is. Jaylen Brown ain't even the damn problem. Jason Tatum is the problem. Tatum ain't showing up big. Tatum is looking wishy-washy out here. So I don't know. At the end of this season, you're going to have to make some choices. And I think it's an opt-in season for Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown gonna want some bread. Especially if he makes the All-NBA team. If he makes the All-NBA team, he looking for that max, baby. With two X's. That max. Max me out. Because I tell you one thing. A lot of people, if he doesn't make All-NBA and he seemingly is unhappy in Boston, he can always come back home. Everybody that I talk to around Atlanta, one of the things that we're missing, we know we're missing a solid go-to wing guy, offense and defense. And for whatever package we could put together for Jaylen Brown, if we could keep Trey, keep DeJounte, and add Jaylen Brown to the mix. Oh, man. Yeah, oh, man, Atlanta go crazy. But, yeah, man, Jaylen Brown is not the problem. Jason Tatum is the problem. And people are starting to question if he's the guy. The last time I talked to you, I told you it was a bunch of people that had to put up or shut up. I did not have Jason Tatum's name down there on that list because I thought Jason Tatum was an easy shoe-in to put up, to remind you of who he is, to show you why his name deserves to be in lights on that marquee. And so far, he's looking like the second fiddle. He's not looking like the guy that we thought he was going to be. He's not looking like the celebrity that we thought he was or that we believe that he can be. I don't know what it is. And there seems to be a pattern going on here of him maybe shying away from the moment in terms of playoffs, because he kind of did this in the finals. He kind of had a hard time too in the finals. And, you know, we chalked it up to them hitting the wall. We chalked it up to Steph turning into the guy and taking over. And, you know, but we're going to have to address it at some point in time that Jason Tatum may not be who we think he is. Or maybe he is who we think he is, and he needs to adjust to playoff basketball. He just needs to grow into his own in terms of playoff basketball. But whatever the difference is, they play tonight. Probably by the time you're listening to this, they will already have played Game 5. And I don't know. My prediction for Game 5 is that we do get a complete Celtics game. And we end that Celtics game, the Celtics go up 3-2. You know, I'm looking for a Jason Tatum game, for him to come out, hit for 34. Jaylen Brown come out, hit for about 25. But then you have to keep Al Horford containing Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, man. Joel Embiid is out here, and you can tell he's still kind of hurt because his motions aren't as fluid. I don't hear a lot of people talking about his injury. His motions aren't as fluid as they used to be earlier in the season. So what he'll do, he'll get to a spot, and he'll have his back to the basket when he gets to the spot. He'll have his hand up strictly post, gets the ball in the post position. No matter where he is, he could be at the top of the key. He's getting the ball in post position. Be over on the side on the wing. He's getting the ball in post position. And then he turns and he faces up the defender. And when he turns and faces up the defender, it's like he's trying to then decide what move could he make based off of how he feels and in relation to where he is around the basket. Sometimes he's just going to bully and plow his way all the way to the cup, depending on who's on him. Sometimes he'll try a move here or there, spin away from a double team, put the ball on the floor, but it's taking him a while. Like, he'll get the ball, and it's not fluid. It's get the ball, turn around, think, then make move. So in that, you give Al Horford a lot of time to set up his defense. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to set up here. I'm going to set up there. Because Al Horford's a wily veteran, man. This ain't his first rodeo. He's been doing this for years. Emphasis on 4 years. Yeah. So when you allow a guy like Al Horford, who's a smart, thinking basketball player, when you allow a guy to do that, you allow him time, you know he's watching the tape. So he's anticipating moves. And now you're not doing it on a bam, 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 bam basis. He got time to figure it out. And he's figuring you out. And he's giving you trouble. So now what you rely on is old school James coming back and giving you like 45 points. I don't think James Harden can do that every night. And tonight being one of those nights, I think he reverts back to this new James, where he's trying to be a distributor, where he's trying to be a point guard. And I believe that Boston goes up 3-2.
Commissioner Gordon.
Heading back out east, we got the New York Knicks taking on the Miami Heat. And listen, man, the rivalry is dated all the way back to when Pat Riley left New York, headed south to Miami, and they've hated each other ever since. Like, it's been heated ever since. You know, you've had your fights. You had with Jeff Van Gundy hanging off the leg. You had Lonzo and Larry Johnson swinging back and forth. Nobody hit shit, but they were just swinging. But it's a storied rivalry. And right now, you know, Jimmy is kicking their ass. Like, I'm not a New York fan. You know, everybody knows I'm not a New York Knicks guy. But it's something to say about Jimmy. Then we're going to have this discussion. We're literally going to have a discussion about Jimmy Butler when this man's career is all said and done. The legend of Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler can get these guys to the finals all by himself, kicking and screaming, he's going to drag them kicking and screaming because they're not really helping him. Y'all know how I feel about Kyle Lowry. I've never been a fan of the game. The dude can play basketball. It's just he wouldn't do it on my team. And now he's older, so he's really not doing it as like he used to. Bam Adebayo really isn't providing a whole lot of help. Duncan Robinson, who else you got? You know what I'm saying? Like, you see what I'm saying? He's dragging them, kicking and screaming. I saw the interview about a week or so ago when Jeff Teague told the story about Jimmy Butler taking what he called the Bad News Bears against the Minnesota starting five, with the whole legendary story about Jimmy Butler taking that the guys who was basically on the deep end of the bench and beat the starting five of the Minnesota Timberwolves and basically told him, I'm him, you need to pay me. And he had the jersey on with Minnesota cut out of the jersey and Minnesota cut out of the shorts and all this stuff. That's who he got. I feel like Jimmy Butler still is rocking with the Bad News Bears, and he's still dragging his heavy-ass load all the way through the playoffs. He took as the A seed and beat the 1 seed in Milwaukee. Yes, they had some issues, but he did it, and he put them out. How often does that happen? Not often. But now he's moved on, and he's on to the New York Knicks. And what is he doing? He's still putting on a display. And all he's doing is, in the words of one of my partners, when we talked about like how everybody hustling is, he's nicking them to death. I don't know if y'all know the domino reference. But you know, if you're playing dominoes, you're playing with some old heads, sometimes they won't let you play with fives. You got to go 10 and up. But 10 gets you in. Well, I'm playing 10 gets you in, and then you can go 5 or better. And that's all Jimmy's doing. He's going 5. Give me 5. He put the 2 on the 3. Give me 5. He put the 4 on the 1. Give me 5. Yeah, and he's just going. And you look up, and this dude is winning the damn game. Jimmy Butler is winning the game. Just scratching away. Scratching and clawing the whole entire way. Because, and I say that in reference to his game, Jimmy Butler ain't making a whole lot of threes. You watch Steph Curry on the other end. You watch James Harden hitting threes. You watch some, even Nikola Jokic get out there and hit a couple threes. Jimmy Butler out here on this mid-range, hitting them off the glass, getting into the paint, free throw line extended, jumper, 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 layup. He's nicking you to death, and you look up, and this joker got 50 goddamn points. I don't know what to tell you. Like, when we talk about having the dog in you, this dude has the dog in him. Like, he is the dog. Ain't no dog in him. He's the dog. And if he gets the, just the accomplishment of getting that team to the conference finals is an accomplishment all its own. And like I said, at some point in time, we're going to have a discussion about what we're going to do with Jimmy Butler. I'm going to pose the question on Twitter. I'm going to pose the question probably on Instagram. Jimmy Butler's got to be a Hall of Famer, right? Gotta be, right? Like, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things. But there's also an argument that can be made was, he's also the guy, and this probably, it could be, depending on how you look at it, he's always been the guy that the other team thought wasn't the guy. He got to Minnesota. Minnesota didn't think he was the guy. They picked somebody else. They picked Carl Anthony Towns in Chicago. Chicago didn't think he was the guy. They didn't want to pay him. When he was in Philly, he wasn't the guy. They picked Tobias Harris over him. He wasn't the guy. He hasn't been the guy every place that he's gone. But all he's done is show that he's the alpha in the group. He's the dog. And everybody's underestimated Jimmy. And Jimmy won't mow. I don't know if you've seen Dreamgirls. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant performance by Eddie Murphy. He plays Jimmy, I think it's Jimmy Ely. And then Jimmy got soul. Jimmy won't mow. Hey, man, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a great performance by Eddie Murphy. But Jimmy won't mow, man. So, as it stands right now, the Knicks are up. I mean, the Heat are up on the Knicks. 3-1. You know how I feel about that, man. Get the Knicks up out of here. Like, I'm just not a fan of the franchise. Yes, I'm sure at some point in time, I'll go to Madison Square Garden. I'll be amongst the New Yorkers, the screaming New Yorkers. I'll watch a game and enjoy what is supposed to be the Mecca. And it'll be one to check off my list. But until that, I mean, even in that moment, I'll probably be cheering against the Knicks. And I don't know, at some point in time, I got to look within myself to figure out, like, why do I not like them so much? Like, it's nothing. Like, there's no big rivalry between Atlanta and the Knicks. It's just that I'm just not a fan of the Knicks. Maybe because I was a Jordan fan, and they, you know, but I don't know. That's for another day, for another time. We'll talk about that some other day. But, yeah, so that's the East. Like, the East is going down. I think that's dope playoff basketball. We got old school James breaking out. Y'all must have forgot. I'd love for James Harden to come out and they play that Roy Jones. Y'all must have forgot. And he come out and he go for like 52. I'd love to see Jimmy come out and kill him again in a closeout game and just nick him to death off the glass, free throw line, layup, layup, layup. Pump fake fade away, and you look up and Jimmy got 55. Like, damn, he hit him for a double knuckle. But I'm entertained, man. So if you're gonna ask me my predictions as it stands right now, I mean, hell, looking at it, I mean, you can kind of see where this is going. Eastern Conference Finals, the Heat, and because my hatred for Boston runs deep, too. My hatred for Boston runs deep. We've talked about that before. We have talked about that one. Miami and Philly. And if Miami plays Philly with the health of Philadelphia and Embiid and Harden, and with the mantra of, if you look at it, Philly got rid of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy gonna keep that dog in his chest, and he gonna muscle and take these bad news bears. He might take their ass to the finals. If he take their ass to the finals, dog, it's a wrap. He might. they just take him right to the Basketball Hall of Fame, man. And he's already kind of done it. Just take it to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, I will say this. If Jimmy Butler winds up taking on the Celtics, they're going to struggle. I think everybody thought the Hawks were the Celtics, would be the Celtics' wake-up call. It wasn't. They're still out here bullshitting. And I blame that on the coaching. I already talked about that. I met Ime Udoka, had them a little more focused. They were still inconsistent. But whatever happens, happens. Like, even if you get to the finals right now, or the conference finals right now, you still have to address some issues. And I think that includes shaking up the roster.
Commissioner Borden.
Heading out west. Listen, everybody had the Phoenix Suns as their favorite. But you know what nobody thought about? You know what nobody thought to consider? And I think I told y'all here. I wish I could hit I told y'all music, but we got a couple problems with the drop. Health and depth. And I said it. Like, how often is it that we're going to depend on Chris Paul, who's often injured, to be there an entire 2 months of a NBA playoff? I said the same thing for Anthony Davis. He just hasn't gotten hurt yet. I hope he doesn't get hurt, by the way. I'm not wishing it on him. I'm just looking at your history. But how likely is that? What's the likelihood that you're going to remain uninjured and playing optimal basketball for 2 months? And that's what happens. Chris Paul gets injured, and everybody starts looking around like, oh, we didn't think about this. Well, you know, now you're just down to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And guess what? Book say, hey, we all we got, we all we damn need. Booker's been looking like the all-star of the NBA playoffs. He's been looking like him. So I put up a poll about who is having the best playoffs currently. And the question was Devin Booker, Nikola Jokic, and Jimmy Butler. Well, the results of that poll was that Devin Booker was having the best. That was 57% of the vote. Nikola Jokic got 14%, and then Jimmy Butler got 29% of the vote. So Devin Booker is the essential winner of who's having the best playoffs thus far. But Book is all that you need. Book is all that you got, and Kevin Durant isn't the Kevin Durant that we grew up knowing and loving, but Kevin Durant is still out here playing basketball. Kevin Durant is still out here playing the most efficient basketball that you've ever wanted to see. I've never seen a guy get out here and score like 28 points off like 12 shots. And then he's playing good defense. You think with the injuries that he wouldn't be up to snuff on defense. He's out here blocking shots. He's getting his arms in the passing lane. He's creating steals. He's playing great defense. He's not allowing any of the wings for Denver and that's to say Michael Porter is a big challenge. Michael Porter's a basketball player. I'm sitting here hoping all these series go seven. I was so upset the other day when the Lakers went up 3-1 against damn Golden State, because I'm pulling for seven games. I find myself pulling for moments as opposed to pulling for individuals. I'm watching because I'm so caught up in the moment. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm watching Devin Booker just cook. I'm watching Kevin Durant just cook, like, and just be so efficient. And offensively, defensively, and then on top of that, they both got 30-something. And then you look on the other side, and Nikola Jokic got like 53 points and 13 rebounds or 13 assists or something crazy. And you're like, damn, this is some good-ass basketball. And that's what I'm telling y'all. This is some good-ass basketball. If you're not down with this, then I don't know what gets you going. You can't say that you like this or you don't like this, but you like March Madness. Because ain't no way you can tell me you like watching the amateurs as opposed to the best of the best. Like Nikola Jokic, I didn't believe he was the MVP, but damn, I know he's a good-ass basketball player. He's the best of the best, arguably one of the best big men we have in the league. Put him up against Joel Embiid. I'd love to see that matchup. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Philly against Denver. Will we see it? I don't know. Because Devin Booker is out here playing out of his mind. Like he channeled Kobe Bryant and is out here playing like he's got to have it. He's playing with that Mamba mentality and he's going for it. They had to move him to essentially damn near the point guard. And he's the main ball handler. And he just, luckily enough, Kevin Durant is a get in while fit in type guy. Like I said, he's the most efficient player that I've probably ever seen in life, man. Like I've never seen, usually the numbers, the guy that puts up the numbers that Kevin Durant puts up a lot of buckets. Kevin Durant don't need a lot of buckets. Kevin Durant just going to get out here and score, like I said, score 26 points of like 12 shots. And you're like, why the hell he do? How do he do that? He only took 12 shots. But you remember those 12 because they were 12 big buckets. They were 12 when you needed them. And so all of this stuff is special, man. I don't take any of this play for granted. We haven't seen play like this for a very long time. So you can't take it for granted.
Commissioner Borden.
On the other series, Steph out here cooking, shimmying. But again, he's doing it by himself. He's doing it by himself because Wiggins ain't the Wiggins of last season. Klay, he's hitting big buckets, but he's not being Klay. He's not doing his thing. He's not giving you those numbers. And we've all seen Draymond, you know, be a shell of himself pretty much all season. And I don't know what the hell has happened to Jordan Poole. Hell, he played so little that I don't even remember him being in the game. I remember Dante DiVincenzo. I remember Moses Moody. I don't remember Jordan Poole playing that much. He played 10 minutes, but I can't tell. He didn't hit a shot. Grabbed a couple boards, but he ain't hit no shots. He ain't really impact the game. This is a dude who was a rising star in my eyes. I'll say that because I saw a lot of people bagging on him. Now I'm looking at him like, y'all don't really know basketball. But in my eyes, dude is a rising star. He's hitting big buckets. He's got ice water in his veins. He doesn't play defense. But in today's era, you don't really have to. All you got to do is offset buckets with your buckets. Make your guy work on the defensive end. But those buckets haven't been coming, and he's been turning the ball over. And so he's been looking some, not like a scrub, but he's not been looking good. He hasn't been looking like one of the guys you can watch and feel good and say, hey, man, this young star here, when the old guard of Steph, Dre, and Klay go ahead and start to fade to black, you know, Kuminga, Moody, Jordan Poole, you would think those guys should be the new guard that are being highly, you know, highly ushered in. They should be highly regarded. And you could feel good about, okay, we transitioning. But they ain't been looking good at all. They haven't been looking good at all. Steph has been doing it by himself. And then in terms of the Lakers, Anthony Davis has decided nobody out on this damn basketball court can guard me. And they can't. Like, Kevin Looney can't guard. Kevon Looney, excuse me. Can't guard AD. He can't. Draymond can't guard AD. But the problem is, Anthony Davis has to decide that he's going to be the best basketball player on the floor. And sometimes he takes those breaks to where he just want to, you know, kind of be in the background. And maybe let LeBron shine or let anybody else shine. The other day, it was Lonnie, the fourth. And he could hoop too. You know, I knew when he was in San Antonio, he was a hooper. I remember when he got drafted, I knew he was a hooper. But AD has to be that guy all the time, 24/7. Hey, when we come down the floor, hit me first, because I'm finna put Draymond in the basket. Hit me first, because I'm going to get Kevon Looney out here on this wing, and he don't know how to guard a guy my size with my handle. Hit me first, and he should be looking to score at least 30 points a night. But you'll get the 40-point game, and then you turn around and you'll have 12. And I think that's probably one of the most frustrating things for Darvin Ham as the head coach. Like, why? If I could just keep the switch on. If I could just keep the switch on. It's almost like when it's, you know, when it's summer. Summer outside and you got the AC on and it's feeling good in the house. And somebody decides that it's cold. And they go and they walk to the thermostat and they just turn it off. So now it goes from feeling good because it's hot outside in the rest of the world to feeling good to now you in your bed sweating. And you go to the thermostat, like, what happened to the thermostat? And you're like, oh, somebody cut it off. That's what happened. Somebody cut off Anthony Davis's thermostat. He was cooking. It was good. Everything was going well. Somebody hit the button. And it's off. But he's got to decide and find a way to keep that switch on, because when he keeps that switch on, LA is going to be a dominant team out west. And what are we going to talk about if the Lakers make the finals? If the Lakers make the finals, like, I'm not talking about the Western Conference, I'm talking about the NBA finals. Are we going to be talking about the 20 years of LeBron? Are we going to be talking about the emergence of Anthony Davis? Are we going to be talking about how Nikola Jokic is a two-time MVP, but he still couldn't quite get over that hump? Are we going to be talking about maybe the end of the road for Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors as we know them currently constructed? What are we going to be talking about? Are we going to be talking about getting a victory over Kevin Durant? What are we going to be talking about? It's going to be interesting. And I can't wait to see it all play out, man. I always say this is my reality TV. Y'all choose to watch the Housewives and rap. What is it? Rap, Love and Hip Hop, all that shit. Y'all choose to watch that. I turn on these games, man, and watch the stars play out. So, listen, if you are watching these games, you can join me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. You can join me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Again, join me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. And hey, man, listen, let's chop it up. Let's watch these games. Let's talk a little smack. Let's make some predictions. And please, please, please don't fall for the banana tailpipe. But yeah, let's talk a little smack. Let's keep it entertaining. And I'll see you guys next week. I'll holler. Commissioner Gordon.